Part of our mission here at Heritage Radio Network is to bring you new voices you don't hear on mainstream media. We are proud to continue in this vein by sharing stories from a group of people who have a lot to say but don't always have the platform for people to hear them. These five upcoming stories are all by teenagers, our first ever Saxelby Radio Scholars. The five students earned a stipend and competed for two scholarships. The winners will be revealed as you listen, and I'll also tell you about our impressive selection committee who chose the winners. I'm Caitlin Pierce, Program Administrator of the Saxelby Radio Scholars, and I've worked with teenagers almost since I was one myself. Some of the most honest conversations I've ever had were with teenagers. They have a way of getting you to be honest along with them, and you'll hear that in their stories with the people they interview. Our scholars will bring you into their schools, streets, and homes. We want to bring you more stories like these, but we need your help in funding another round of scholars. Please visit heritageradionetwork.org to donate. In the next hour, you will hear the stories of each of our scholars. The first I want to share comes from Joshua Miranda. Most of our scholars are quiet, but Joshua is always full of energy.
Hello, my name is Joshua Miranda, and I'm a junior at John Adams High School, and this is my mom.
How is your morning so far?
So far, so good. Early morning, but so far, so good. And today, right now, I'm on my way to work.
6 a.m, and my mom, a home care nurse, is driving me and my 5-year-old brother to school before heading to work. It's still dark outside. Before we got in the car, my mom scarfed down a bagel with cream cheese and some coffee in between getting me and my brother up, dressed, and ready for school.
Do you feel like in the morning you're more sluggish and tired rather than having more energy and...
Definitely. I feel like most of the time that's why it takes me like longer to do what I have to do because I don't feel good in the morning because I don't eat good in the morning. I wish if I had more time, if I didn't have to get up so early in the morning, I would go exercise. I would eat better food. I'd have time. But at a time like this, at 6 o'clock in the morning, I got to get my kids up, grab my things. Sometimes I just grab a sandwich. Sometimes I grab nothing on the way to work. Sometimes I'll grab like a bagel or which is no good. Cup of coffee. Sometimes I don't have no time. So that makes me not be able to eat healthy.
After my mom drops me off, I'll get a turkey bacon BLT from the bodega close to my high school. Eating healthy is hard for me in the morning because everyone's so rushed. You can only spend so much time and money getting something healthy, unlike a bagel with cream cheese, which takes 2 seconds to make and go and will get you through the day.
For lunch, do you make up or try to eat healthy because you didn't eat healthy during breakfast time?
If I have the time, like I said, I don't really, you know what I mean? I get a half an hour break. I work 5 days a week, you know. And like I said, where I live, they don't have healthy stuff. There's nothing healthy, even if you wanted to get healthy. And healthy food is expensive. I mean, who can afford it? When I could get a bagel for $1.50 versus a salad for $7-$8 or a fruit salad, you know, $5-$6. Lettuce and tomatoes. Sometimes I make it at home, but like I said, it's rare because fruit and vegetables in my neighborhood is expensive. I rather eat something that is cheaper versus something that is healthy, and because of that, I pay the consequences. I mean, you know, not saying that everything is unhealthy. I'm just saying it's like expensive. Like, I rather eat something that's not gonna kill my pockets.
Not only is healthy food expensive, but it can be hard to find in the Rockaways. The grocery stores here often don't stock healthy foods or have produce that's already rotting. My friend Alex calls this a food desert.
There's this concept of food deserts. where there are certain neighborhoods and areas that don't have access to fresh vegetables and fruits.
I talked to him at my high school in Ozone Park, where Alex volunteers as a Global Kids leader. Global Kids is a nonprofit educational organization that works in high schools. He thinks it'd be helpful to have more farmers markets in places where fresh food is hard to find.
You can't just say, oh, let's put a farmers market out in, you know, the middle of an area, a low-income neighborhood. No one can afford it because those things do cost more. You're completely right on that aspect. So maybe if those communities can use those food stamps at farmers markets or something like that, and say the equivalent of is, you know, because not only are you getting better food to those individuals that are in the low-income neighborhoods that wouldn't maybe be able to afford those fresh produce and fruits, you're also still giving an incentive to local farmers to produce those types of things. And it kind of, it's like a community organizing in itself, to where you're having the community make itself better with the support of the city and those that do supplement some of their income with food stamps, which is a large part of New York City. It's larger here than I mean, I'm not from New York City, and so I mean, I saw a little bit of it back where I am from, but a lot of students that I've seen, their families rely on that, and without access to those good and healthy foods, it's just gonna continue to get worse. So maybe some type of, you know, plan where they, like, rather than go to this bodega or corner store to get processed cheese and this old apple and, you know, whatever, they can go to a farmer, like the farmer market would come to them, but also they could take the food stamps or whatever supplemental materials they have and use it at the fresh farmers markets.
Simply making fresh food available isn't enough. You have to be able to afford it. My mom went to the farmer's market once. It took 45 minutes and she spent over $50 on a bag and a half of food.
I mean, it was worth it, but to eat healthy for, 2 days, 3 days? It's just too expensive. The only thing is, it's so expensive that who's doing that? Can't afford that to go so far. And then to, spend so much and get so little. Nothing healthy around here. Nothing but bodegas, corner stores, supermarket. But as far as healthy stuff, no. Not around here. You have to definitely commute to get anywhere out of Rockaway.
I asked my mom what would she change about our neighborhood in order to make eating healthy easier.
I would like for them to put different types of stores. All we have is McDonald's, Wendy's, the regular stuff. They don't have like smoothie places or different kind of stores that you have different variety. I would choose better variety.
Both my mom and Alex agree that people living in lower income neighborhoods have a hard time both finding and affording healthy foods. But my mom doesn't eat unhealthy all the time. When she has more time, she makes some of my favorite Puerto Rican meals like yellow rice and beans, chicken and cheese empanadas, and platanos. And she's learning to cook new healthy types of food too, like Italian, West Indian, and Jamaican. For me, I want to see more healthy and affordable opportunities for food in my neighborhood. Not just bodega sandwiches and fast food burgers, but more fruits and vegetables that aren't spoiled or sprayed with pesticides. For now, I'm gonna enjoy the food that my mother makes for me.
Marcel Breathwaite of the Police Athletic League was on our selection committee. He said Joshua's piece had a focus theme with a nice combination of a personal story intertwined with the greater theme of food access. Our next scholar is Michael Obadina. Michael has worked before in film, and he was always thinking about what ambient sounds he could add to make his work more cinematic. Listen here.
Sneakers squeaking, balls dribbling up and down the court, and coaches yelling in the Scholars Academy gym. That could mean only one thing. Yep, basketball season is starting.
Basketball?
Yeah.
Oh my god, so you ready for that?
Right here.
You ready to get in shape?
Every year at the beginning of basketball season, I have to ask myself the same question. Am I ready? Am I ready for the long hours practicing in the gym? Am I mentally ready? And even more importantly, is my body ready nutritionally? Being in shape is so extremely important. I need to be able to run up and down the court as fast as I can and up my stamina if I want to help my team this season. Also, if I don't want to hear my coach yell, "Where's your legs at?"
Come on, what are we eating?
You're eating eba, an egusi soup. Mm. With ewedu. Ewedu is a vegetable. It's a kind of leaf they call jute leaf. Jute. J-U-T-E. It's a green vegetable. The brown one is akmo. We call it akmo in Nigeria. Africa. It's a vegetable too. The other name for it is okpono. They said it's very good for those people that have diabetes.
Oh, okay.
It helps lower
the blood sugar.
That was my mom, Olu Obedina. When coming to America from Nigeria, she went to school to study nutrition and become a registered dietitian and nutritionist. She now works for the New York City Department of Education Office of School Food, making sure that school food is healthy enough for students. She oftentimes brings work home with her, nagging us about what's healthy and what's not. But she really helps us remain healthy. In the off season, I've had such frequent visits to the corner store, eating out with my friends, and filling my body with so much junk food and little exercise. That's what really made me question whether I was ready or not. I need to change my eating habits now. Luckily, my mom is a nutritionist and can help me get back into shape.
Junk. You can't eat junk food. You know, we don't give you junk food anymore.
Yeah, I know.
We don't allow you to have junk food. Junk food, like sugars, food high in salt and sugar. We say the food with no nutritive value. Non-nutritive value are considered junk food. We call them empty calories. They have calories, but the empty in the sense that they're not useful calories to the body.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
They're not useful calories, empty calories.
Yeah, I know. I'm not supposed to have junk food, but it's so readily available when I'm on my way to and from my long hours at school that I just have to stop by to get a quick snack here and there. Oftentimes, I leave school very late with only $3 in my pocket. What can $3 possibly buy other than a bag of chips in an Arizona? Also, in Far Rockaway, there aren't many places that I can get healthy food from anyways, so I have no choice but to spend it on the little snacks I have access to. I want to stop eating junk food and get back into shape, but the other part of me thinks, am I really ready to give up the sweet taste of cake and cookies? I mean, who wants to give that up? But I snap back into reality and realize that I need to change my diet, but I don't know how. And what do you do when you don't know what to do? Call mom.
But if you're talking about getting in shape, continuing to be in shape, then you have to make sure you eat healthy. You eat food high in nutritive value.
That being
lots of fruits, fresh fruits and vegetables. You eat whole wheat. I always buy you guys whole wheat bread. Whole wheat bread. And you drink a lot of water.
Yeah.
You make sure you eat fruits every day. At least three fruits a day. One in the morning, one in the afternoon, and one in the evening.
Eating these fruits would help give my body the needed natural sugars and the energy I need throughout the day, along with other vitamins that would help my body. Vitamins that eating cake and cookies won't give me. But just adding fruits to my diet isn't all that I have to do to ready my body. I have to eat vegetables also.
Vegetable is recommended at least twice a day with your lunch and dinner. You need about 3 to 4 servings a day. And that's not a lot at all. You could eat more.
Having this conversation with my mom really allowed me to make the necessary changes to my diet. Now when I'm out with my friends, I try to avoid all the unhealthy snacks that others would buy. I would just wait it out until I get home where I can eat an apple or have some salad instead. Or take a snack with me out before I leave the house. Not only have my eating habits changed, but my basketball game has changed too. I've noticed that my body doesn't get tired as easily as before, and my legs and body feel great. I can finally make it up and down the court without huffing and puffing. I realize that it's not just about getting active, but it's about giving your body what it needs to stay healthy. Once you know what to eat, start eating. This is Michael Obudino for HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
The Saxelby Radio Scholars were created by Pam and Bill Saxelby, who also served on the selection committee. They said Michael's piece was not just educational, but also fun and entertaining through his writing. Carlos Rodriguez is our next scholar. When we first met Carlos, he was guarded and quiet. He would look at the floor and avoid eye contact. The minute he walked into the studio to record this, that all changed. When we finished recording, he left the room saying, "I'm about to be famous." Here's a piece that made him famous.
How you doing, Luis Camoli?
I'm not too good. You got me doing this report right now. I want to know what this is about. It's 11 o'clock at night. What's going on? How can I help you?
Luis Camoli is my stepdad, and I've been a witness to the struggles he had of an unhealthy lifestyle. When I was a kid, he used to always take me outside to have a catch, just to practice. Now, when I ask him, "Oh, put the gloves on for us to train," he said, "No, I'm too tired." From 1998 to 2001, Luis Camoli served in the armed forces.
Well, I came out of the military, I was in good shape. You know, I came home, got a job, started working, you know, raising my family.
He was an active guy at the time. He always wore a suit. We'd be at the park playing basketball all the time. Years later, he was eating more, exercising less, and he had grown older. My stepbrother told the whole family, "I finally beat my dad at basketball." My little brother said, "I always beat daddy." My stepbrother said, "That cause you play against old daddy. I always had to face young daddy." My stepdad became addicted to unhealthy food. Every Saturday after work, he'd go to the store and bring everybody home bacon, eggs, and cheese. In the town we live in, Far Rockaway, there really not that much healthy foods.
Fast food is not good for you, obviously. It makes you fat. It doesn't have the nutrition it should have. And too many people eat it. Eating healthy is an expensive thing to do. See, most people eat fast food because they can't afford healthy food. Healthy food is very expensive. Fast food is very cheap. So if you only got a couple dollars in your pocket, you're going to eat some fast food. You're not going to try to eat anything healthy because it's just too much money.
I you know, maybe if I found a job closer to home or something, you know, it takes me quite some time. It takes me a lot of time to travel to work. It takes me about an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours to get to work. So that's one of the other issues there too. And, you know, so I leave at 8 o'clock in the morning. I come home. It's 10 o'clock at night. So it just makes it difficult to get things done.
So now he's trying to find a way to get back in shape. He going to the gym more. He don't come home with bacon, eggs, and cheese that much. He made my mom start cooking fish instead of chicken, rice, and beans. He box and trains with me sometimes. Things are looking great.
Some of the things that I've done differently now is I, you know, just kind of just monitor myself in terms of how much junk food I eat and stuff like that.
That's one thing I did. I also just incorporated eating more fruit, the fruits that they have available, like apples and oranges and stuff like that. So I eat more of that right now. And, you know, I try to stay away from, I watch how I cook food. I make sure I don't fry foods too much. Yeah, I just I eat moderately now, and that seems to help out. I've been able to drop, 15 pounds since the last time we spoke, and, you know, I do a lot more cardio. You know, I make sure I walk every day. The remedy for everything is if you commit for something, if you commit to something, you'll get the results you need. But if you don't make that commitment and you don't do what you need to do, it's not going to happen for you.
Many people struggle with the same problem of not getting healthy food in their system. The food is not around in my neighborhood, and it costs more. My stepdad used to be too tired to work when he came home, but I'm surprised that now he's trying. I hope there will be more healthy food around here soon, and I hope my stepdad get healthy as he was before. For HRN, I'm Carlos Rodriguez.
Anna Sale is host of the podcast Death, Sex, and Money and was part of our selection committee. She said she loves the start of the piece because it immediately establishes a sense of character. She also really liked the writing that created a sense of the passage of time. Justina Utomkin is another scholar. She is a force to be reckoned with, always underneath a huge smile. Justina won $1,500 as our second place scholarship winner with this piece.
When I used to go out on school trips, my friends would always have sandwiches or other fast food to eat for lunch. And I would always have a bowl of home-cooked jollof rice with baked chicken. Jollof rice is a Nigerian traditional rice made with a lot of natural spices, like tomatoes and fresh pepper and fresh curry leaves. My friends asked me, "Don't you eat fast food where you come from?" They said I don't have to bring home-cooked meals to every school trip. They never understood that my parents had an influence in what I eat. Sometimes, the ethnicity and culture of a person can affect the way he or she views or reacts towards food. My name is Justina Tiangpen. I am 17 years old and a senior at John Adams High School in South Ozone Park, Queens. I was born and raised in a small village in Cross River State, Nigeria, a small village called Obudu. In countryside in Nigeria, you have to drive for about half an hour to get fast food. In Nigeria, if you don't have a car, you tend to stick to home-cooked meals. I came to Queens, New York when I was 12, going on 13. Trust me, adapting to a new culture and tradition was very difficult, especially when it came to food. I live in a rented house in Springfield Gardens with both my parents, two younger brothers, and a baby sister. For a family like mine that came from a very rural area, the idea of eating fast food was hard for my parents to accept. Because of the economic hardship where we came from, my parents told my siblings and I not to buy fast food when we go out with friends. They said we could use that money for something more useful, like sending it to a family member back home who needs it more than we need McDonald's. I asked my 12-year-old brother, Godswill, if he thinks having Nigerian parents has an impact on how much fast food he eats.
Hi, my name is Godswill. I'm 12 years old. I was born in Nigeria, and Justina is my big sister.
How do you feel not being allowed to eat fast food as much as your friends or other kids, you see?
I feel all right because I know that my parents have a reason for it, and I know that my parents are just trying to help me to live a healthy life.
Do you follow those rules?
Yes, I follow those rules. Every day, I get tempted to go to McDonald's or Dunkin' Donuts and follow my friends, but I know that being able not to go there is a good thing for me because, you know, I can go on a diet and maybe change my health lifestyle.
Do you think being from Nigeria has an impact in the way your parents are strict about fast food?
Yes, it has a very big impact on the way My parents view fast food because in Nigeria, we don't have fast food restaurants here as much as in America.
I also talked to my friend Joshua. We go to the same school. Although Joshua was born here in New York, he has a Hispanic mother from Puerto Rico.
Hello, my name is Joshua Miranda, and I go to John Adams High School.
Because I've never been there, I asked Joshua to describe Puerto Rico to me.
Puerto Rico is a very, like, hot climate place. So it's mostly sunny all the time. It's very beautiful, very, basically, like, waterfalls, more forest. And in Puerto Rico, there's really not that much. There may be, like a Checkers here and there, but it's, like, Puerto Rico is more home, natural, cooked with love type of food. So it's like, it's very, very, very rare if you was to see like a Checkers out there. And that's like, oh my gosh. Like, so everything is, and you could tell it's made from scratch because they make, they like to make it in front of you. And you could just tell it's made with natural everything. Rather than out here, which is more like McDonald's and fast food.
I think I know where I'll be going to for my next vacation. How do people from other countries react towards American fast food?
I would say they act kind of like weird, like, because there are some foods they haven't seen, heard, or tasted before. Even though New York is such a diverse place. So it's like we have a mixture of like Guyanese, Trini. So it's like a lot of diverse food. And for certain people who haven't tried that kind of food, I feel like they would kind of react weird to it and kind of like hesitant to try it, in other words. So I feel like they'll react differently.
I asked Joshua if he thought there was a difference between fast food and homemade from scratch food.
To me, taste-wise, very different, and the quality, I feel like, is more better if it's made from scratch, which they do a lot in Puerto Rico.
It was a lot of fun talking to my friends and family about how they view fast food. It's a big part of being an American. Although I do eat fast food more than I used to when I came to America, I still like my traditional jollof rice better than McDonald's French fries. I'm Justina Tiangpan for HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Sarah Trogdon is a small business owner in the Rockaway community and part of our selection committee. Justina's piece was her favorite. She said, "The theme was unusual, rural versus urban and food choices made by new immigrant families. The comparison between the traditional African family and the Latino family added another dimension to the story." Dekindra Dazzle was recommended to be in our program by a community leader who said that she is quiet but has a lot to say. This is exactly what we found to be true through her powerful writing and impressive collection of voices that she gathered for her piece. Dekindra is our first place winner and will receive a $3,000 scholarship. I'm so proud to share this piece with you.
I'm from
a small town in North Carolina called Kinston.
The Bronx.
Jamaica, Queens.
Manhattan.
I'm from Guyana, where everything you need comes from the trees. I smell fresh air and grass. There are cows, dogs, and goats everywhere. Once in a while, you'll see a few cars pass by, but not very often. You can hear birds chirping and the sound of kids playing. You'll hear a van passing by, the wind blowing through the trees, and you can also hear quiet at night. When I was 3 years old, I went from the quiet country to the city that never sleeps. I felt scared as I plummeted into a completely different environment.
For one, I lived in the country and I definitely was not in this huge city like this.
That's Jasmine Outlaw. She's from the South and moved to Far Rockaway when she was 17 years old. Like any part of New York City, Far Rockaway is fast-paced with busy streets. It's at the end of the subway line, so it takes about an hour to get to Times Square alone. It's a place of gravel and sand, mainly because we are surrounded by water. This bustling city may be filled with entertainment, but there is no escape from the rush of people, sounds, and lights. Whatever you do, you're constantly on the go, especially when it comes to food. Where I live in Far Rockaway, my closest grocery store, Compare Foods, is surrounded by fast food restaurants.
So currently I'm in Compare Foods. This is our local grocery store. Now to the left of Compare, we have a Chinese food store, followed by Dunkin' Donuts / Baskin Robbins. And down by the end of the corner, we have a Subway's. And when I turn the corner, there's a fried chicken spot. So Compare seems to be the only option where it's where you can get greens around here.
Although the grocery store is a good way for my community to get fruits and vegetables, it is not necessarily the healthiest choice. Jasmine would know.
Like, even in New York, like, their stuff, they have a lot of food miles up there and food costs and things like that on their vegetables and things like that. So they're not really as fresh as you would get in, like, southern grocery stores. And, you know, it's southern as it sounds, you know. You know, my grandmother would literally give me a list. I would go down there and get eggs for the house. I would go down there and get fresh milk. I would go down there and get potatoes, anything like that, onions, apples, pears, peaches, plums. Like, I would just be able to walk down the street, pick it for myself, and bring it back home. Like, I didn't have to go through so many other people. It was from the garden straight to my house, so I didn't have to, you know, go through the middleman that most grocery stores have to go through.
Unlike warm places like the South or the country, Far Rockaway does not have fertile land, so getting healthy, unprocessed food is certainly a hassle. As a resident of Far Rockaway for 30 years, Dina understands the struggle.
I'm going to be honest, no. It's not really no. There's not a lot of food stores in Far Rockaway where you can get decent food for decent prices. You know, you got to go where you can afford to go. You don't have a car, a way to get there. You have to walk, so you have to deal with the high prices in the, you know, in the neighborhood.
Along with the high prices of the city and the struggle to find healthy options in Far Rockaway, we often get so swept up in the fast-paced environment that we lose sight of community.
Up here, it feels like a lot of people are not in touch with other people around them. Like, everyone just off and they just do their own thing, and, you know, it's not a very big sense of, like, community and things like that.
One promising fix to these problems would be the installation of community gardens. With all the open space Rockaway has, it can definitely be done, and the process has already started. Now, why community garden, you ask? Well, a community garden would expose people to fresh fruits and vegetables, allow them to get in touch with their fellow comrades, and brighten the community with a positive solution to a few of our problems. Helping at our local farmers market has allowed me to learn about so many different fruits like Asian pears and vegetables, and the variety of squashes there are out there. I was also able to slow my hectic lifestyle down and for a few hours get in touch with what was actually going on around me. A community garden is the same concept as a farmer's market, only you're not getting produce from local farms. It's made right there, for the people and by the people. Now, if you don't believe me, you can take Sam's word for it. He works for Grow NYC. When asked if produce from locally grown areas helps keep him healthy, he responded,
"Hell yeah."
Donna, a vegetarian for 10 years, thinks,
"I usually have to get on buses and trains to find vegetables that are adequate, and I don't have to now. I can walk here, and I really appreciate it. I've learned that I can try things that's affordable, and I just want to keep doing that. I did it, you know, at home from supermarket stuff, but I have a bigger variety out here, so I can try a lot more things."
And Kent, a farmer's market volunteer, thinks,
"Honestly, when I had a peach here, it tasted like life, so."
A community garden is extremely beneficial because it is a place where people can come together to eat healthier and try new things.
Sweet potatoes, I want to try sweet potatoes, and Mustard and turnip greens are two things I can't find very easily. I have to still get on buses and trains for those, but I'd like to try that. And squash. I've never had squash before.
You can also meet new people and share laughs. You can learn new recipes, too.
I've been making a lot of weird sauce recently, like we have a lot of leftover spinach, so I make like green sauce with oil, a lot of olive oil and garlic, and a little vinegar, and I just kind of blend it up and put it on everything. I've also been, now that the squash is back, I've been making some squash soup, because now that it's cold, it's nice to have soup.
I love collard greens. I love collard greens. Collard greens are like my favorite thing to eat. Yeah. My grandmother, the way she makes it, she like boils like, she uses the water, salt, pepper, all these other things, a little crushed red pepper, and she puts like ham hocks in the water. She lets that boil for a little bit, and then she cleans off the vegetables. It cleans off, like she has to wash them because I guess collard greens get really dirty. So she has to wash them, and then she puts them in a pot, and she just lets them cook for like hours. I don't know how long they cook. I don't know how long collard greens cook. And she just lets them cook.
People are learning how to depend on themselves for produce. They can plant their own fresh fruits and vegetables. A community garden would desperately help my community because it opens up several new possibilities for Far Rockaway. What was once an unfertile area, too busy to realize that it lacks so much, can now be a warm and inviting area where healthy eating is welcomed. I'm Dekendra Dizel for HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Jessica B. Harris is a culinary historian, journalist, and host of Heritage Radio Network's My Welcome Table. She's also on our selection committee. She said one of the strengths of Dekendra's piece is that it shows a problem in her food community, but also clearly depicts a change and convincing resolution. I couldn't be more proud to share this work with you. Thank you to our selection committee members, the Heritage Radio Network team, and our volunteers, Selena Tennant, Julia Alsop, and Sean Ramswaram. And of course, thank you to our hardworking, talented, dedicated, amazing radio scholars. We hope to hear you again on the air soon. I'm so proud to work with these kids, and I hope we will be able to bring you more new voices than ever next year. But we need your help. To run a program like this, we need funding for scholarships, internship stipends, transportation, food, and equipment. Please donate by going to heritageradionetwork.org. Thanks for listening.